For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. You can find the show anywhere that you can get podcasts. Apple, Google, Audible, Amazon, Stitcher, and of course on Dash Radio as well a couple of times a week. So, welcome back. It's been a little while. I know that I've left the show out into the ether for a little bit. Wasn't much to talk about, and also just a bit of R&R. We know this season's going to be a big one, so I thought we'd compile it all into this episode today where we talk about the off-season. We've had plenty of it. I know we were doing some off-season project stuff earlier on in that. It's dragged on throughout all of June, July, August, and now the end of September. I can't believe we're here and 10 days away from, well, if that, for Pelicans basketball against the Bulls. 4th of October, that is, to kick off the preseason. Before we kick off, I want to send everyone over to sportsethos.com to go and check out everything that's going on over there. Fantasy season is upon us, so, of course, if you play fantasy basketball, you need to go and check out what's going on at Sports Ethos. And we'll talk about that a little bit longer later on in the show. But today we're going to be talking about Pelicans. So plenty to cover, plenty to get across. We're going to talk about our new Hall of Fame executive. We're going to talk about some roster changes, the coaching changes, and everything else that's been going on. It's been a wild ride, I suppose, the last month. And to say that without actually changing the roster in terms of trades or movement, we've pretty much stood pat. And we're going to talk about how that isn't a bad thing. So all of that coming up today. So let's kick off with, I suppose, firstly, happy birthday to Swin Cash for the other day, our new Hall of Famer. She was inducted in the other day. Fantastic achievement and well-deserved. It's great to have someone of her caliber in our front office, I suppose, leading from the front, a great representative of basketball, of women athletes, of black women athletes as well. I just think it's fantastic. Honestly, as children and as people growing up, you look up to people that look like you, and to have that diversity and to have that representation, it matters. It really does. And I mean, it's coming from a white middle-class male in Australia, you know, that I've had that opportunity. I haven't had the struggle that a lot of people have had to have, and I can own that, and I recognize my privilege as it is. But for a lot of people out there, they don't get that opportunity. They don't have that ability to look up and say, hey, that's someone like me that can do this. And that's why representation matters. So I thought we'd kick off with that. And I think it is just fantastic, an absolute awesome achievement, well-deserved. And yeah, congratulations again to Swin Cash for that. Looking forward to seeing her lead from the front again this year in that Pelicans organization. So congratulations. Another thing that has happened, and we'll probably talk about this, I don't know if we do it off the bat. I suppose the news regarding the Celtics coach, Ime Udoka, as well as Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, or, well, he soon-to-be former owner. We might talk about that towards the end, because I think that's a conversation that we do need to have and needs to be touched on. Both probably the big controversies of the off-season. and one probably evolving more quickly than the other, and in the last few days, and a difficult conversation to have, but again, another one that we just need to address, because again, this is a league that we all follow, that we support, that we embrace, and again, we need to hold each other accountable. We need to bring each other up, and there needs to be some checks and balances in terms of the attitude and I suppose responsibility bestowed on the custodians of the game, for better want of the word. So we'll talk about that coming up. But to the Pelicans, let's talk about the Pels, because that's what we're here for. And then you can hear about my rant and carry on at the end. There was an article that came out the other day about Zion Williamson. We're going to talk about that right now. Jasper Bibbs, the strength coach, the personal strength coach of Zion, had a sit-down interview with Will Guillory of The Athletic. Fantastic article if you haven't gone and listened to that. Will, of course, is a wordsmith. He's fantastic at writing articles, and he gets really in-depth analysis into this. He talks about how Zion's reshaped his body. He's had a whole different approach to his nutrition, to his exercise, to recovery. And he says that Zion is a different beast this year. He looks like a completely different athlete, a better athlete than pre-injury. And, I mean, you've got to be excited about that. I think go and read the article, because that really sets out the different things that they worked on. He just got back from an eight-week boot camp, for want of a better term, where he went to Florida and just absolutely flogged it two-a-days in the gym, and just getting himself completely ready. We've seen the photos coming out from the Jordan drop of the Zion 2, all the different photos on his Instagram, and he's looking strong, he's looking athletic. You can see it in his face that he's slimmed down a bit. He looks phenomenal, honestly. And I mean, I don't know if that's a weird thing to say, but he does just look like absolutely prime form. I think he's going to come out and silence the haters. So I'm looking forward to seeing him come out and top 40 ranked in the ESPN rankings. Oh, good luck to the other 39 people in front of him, because he is going to be coming back with a vengeance, and I'm looking forward to seeing him really take control of his own career and be able to silence everyone that has decided to jump on his back. It was great to really see that, and to hear from a guy that's been in the trenches with Zion, getting himself right, and We're excited. I know I am. I'm pretty sure everyone else is, to see what adding a guy, an all-generational talent back into the team that did well last year is going to do. I think good luck to the rest of the league. How do you guard us? I don't know. Now, I've been saying it. Everyone's saying it. The league is in some strife. Now, if you haven't been on the Pelicans YouTube page recently, a new episode of the squad drop. That was fantastic to get a little bit of content just on the eve of Media Day, Media Day being on Monday. We got to see, well, what the guys were up to. Herb went off to the Philippines. We got to see them. It looked like they put a court, basketball court together and a few camps and things like that. Big Filipino basketball following over there. So great to have a few Pels fans after Herb's little visit, and actually been watching the charts of this show. And hello to everyone in the Philippines that listens in. Also South Korea. You guys have been keeping us ticking along in this the doldrums of the off-season. So welcome and thanks for listening. We also saw the Las Vegas trip, the Summer League. We got a cheeky cameo from Rel, who'd been on this show a couple of times, and talked about the Pels 12 and how they impact as a fan base, where that all originated from. That was a great little insight as well. If you recall, and if you don't know, it's from the JJ Redick tweet where he clapped back and said, all 12 of you, when someone said, something about you're no good for Pels fans or something, and he clapped back, and all of a sudden that was born. So out of the pettiness and out of the saltiness, we formed the fan base. So that was a really nice little insight. We saw a bit of Trey Murphy walking the draft night catwalk and interviewing everyone. Dyson Daniels, we saw the team dinner, and Dyson complaining about the cut of his steak, or the cooking of his steak, which I thought was hilarious. If you go back and listen to that. Yeah, really was a great little 8-minute taster of what's to come, and pulled up all those memories of last year. I mean, it feels like forever ago, but also, hell, it was only 4 or 5 months, but we need to capture what happened last year again and channel it into this year. There's expectations this year, don't get me wrong. But last year was special. I think the way we started, everyone coming together, we've built a great base now, foundation, and we need to build on that and turn it into a situation where we know we're good. We expect to win every game. And when the confidence comes, you're not going to win every game. Of course you're not. But if you have that expectation, that belief, it makes it 10 times harder, easier to be successful. Visualization is the key. So these guys, all the fans have got to channel it. All of the players have got to channel it. I think everyone's heading in the right direction for the first time in a very long time. And this could be a special year. It really could. And I'm looking forward to that. So we also had the Exhibit 10 deals signed, which are essentially sign and waive deals. They're training camp deals. These guys will come and train along during training camp, and then their rights will be retained. They'll go and play in the G League for the squadron. So we signed Isaiah Brockington, 6'4 shooting guard out of Iowa State. Zylan Cheatham got actually signed today, which is fantastic. He's from the squadron. If you don't remember him, he's played for the Pels before. Fantastic power forward, 6'8", out of Arizona State. He's played around for a while, but great with the squadron, real leader on the court there. We also signed John Petty, another Birmingham squadron guy. He's been around for a little bit, played last year, will play again this year with the squadron. 6'5", shooting, small forward. Daquan Plowden, if you recall from the Summer League, he was a fantastic standout, was fighting for that other two-way spot, and unfortunately just gets the 10-day 6'6 guard out of Bowling Green. Jumps out of the gym, got injured towards the end of Summer League, but otherwise was just probably one of our better players. Our two-way was signed by Dayron Sebron, shooting guard 6'7 out of NC State. We liked him. We liked what we saw out of him towards the end of Summer League. He really got going. Probably more minutes, more opportunity. There was less guys to take shots. So, squad looking pretty tidy. He'll go back and forth between the squadron and the Pels. And so, we can develop him as well. Nice, lengthy shooting guard. We like big guards. We've noticed. We're getting length. We're getting defense. We're getting speed. And, yeah, he fits the build. So, squad's looking tidy. We'll get through training camp the next week and a bit, I think, and after media day, and then we're into it. And I, for one, am excited. So, after the break, we will come back and we will discuss the actual preseason dates, the games, if you don't recall. And then I think I'll do my little rant about the issues with the league over the last couple of months. And then and coaching changes, and then we'll pack it up. So, be back after this.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, listeners, it's time to talk a little fantasy hoops. Do you remember who led you to Tyrese Halliburton, DeJounte Murray and Terry Rozier, and of course Mikal Bridges before any other rank list? That's right, it was the Brewski 150, and you probably turned those huge wins into some cash. Didn't you? Great. Well, This year, the Brewski 150 is on sale for a limited time, and Ethos 360 subscribers can get access in less than a week. Head to sportsethos.com and click on the premium tab to grab membership or draft guide today. And yes, to answer your most important question, the Brewski 150 is included in both options. Check back daily for more new features and go dominate your leagues again with sportsethos.com. So, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Lyle here, remaining on the mic. Before the break, we broke down pretty much what was going on the team. We talked about the Swing Cash Hall of Fame. We talked about the Exhibit 10 deals. We talked about the new episode of the squad. And, of course, Zion we touched on as well. So, before that, I foreshadowed that we were going to have a chat about the coaching changes. They were sort of finalized a bit today, and we look Pel's stacked. Let's just say that. So, a bit of a change. Coach Ryan Pinone from the squadron, head coach of the squadron, has moved to a full-time assistant with the Pelicans. Fantastic guy and has been on this show. Great insights we got from him back in January, I think it was. And really, really lovely guy. Well-deserved, hard-working, has worked his way up the ranks. Sammy Gelfand from, I think that's how you pronounce it, has been hired as Senior Director of Basketball Analytics. And he was with the Warriors the last few years. He was the start of that that dynasty that kicked that off. So, you know, don't want to foreshadow anything, but it's a good get. Jordan Kincaid has been added to the training staff as assistant strength and conditioning coach. Ryan Fraser has been promoted to assistant coach. Corey Brewer and Darnell Lazare have been elevated to assistant coach / player development coach. Brandon Damas has been promoted to two-way coach. Jordan McGuire has been promoted to player development assistant / assistant shooting coach. Oh, the apprentice for Fred. And Dior Fisher has been elevated to player development assistant. So, we're really building some pathways for some guys there, moving up the ranks, and that's great. You want coaching development as well as player development, and consistency is the key. So, you retain, you get some new people in, get new perspectives, and honestly, I love all these moves. So, looking forward to seeing that. And, of course, their contributions this year, it's going to be fantastic. So, that's that. The preseason dates, gear up because it's coming hard and fast, and honestly, it's going to be upon us, and we'll be back chewing the fat about actual Pelicans basketball. And I mean, I'm hanging out for this. I really am. As we know, September the 30th is day one of NBA season or preseason 2022-23 season, and it's a 6 p.m. game my time because it's played in Japan, which is Warriors and Wizards. So we're getting basketball and it's coming quickly. We also get to see a little NBL / NBA crossover, which is the 36ers and the Suns. That's coming up on the 3rd of October. Now, our first game is on the 4th of October, which is against the Bulls. That is going to be on TNT, so you'll be able to see it on national broadcast. Whether or not we see Zion back for that, I assume we're going to get a good run out. There'll be, I suppose, limited minutes and the like. You know, we always only play the starters a little bit. We then move on, have a couple of days off, and have our second game against the Pistons. And that's on League Pass, so you'll be able to watch that. I suppose just on the normal broadcast, you watch it over there. And they've just landed Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Jazz. So that's going to be interesting to see how he fits in. Would have been a good fit for the Pels, but again, you've got to give stuff up, and consistency is what we're sort of sitting on this year after having a bit of turnover in the last few years. We then play the Spurs on the 10th of, or the 9th of October, and we finish off, I think the last game that we have is we play the Heat on the 13th of the 10th, and we finish off, I think, with the Birmingham game against the Hawks, yep, that's it, on the 14th. So, plenty of basketball to come. looking forward to seeing that for our preseason. And then we're into it. And opening night, well, we're on the second night of the season on the 19th against the Nets. We kick it off. So there's going to be some Australians playing together, which is going to be fantastic. I said a tweet out before. There's going to be Dyson, Paddy, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie Irving is a questionable Australian, honorary Australian. So that's going to be a great game, and it's going to be a great test because you're taking on guys like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. They're a team that's trying to figure it out. Ben Simmons and how he's going to get in. Just did that interview with on JJ Redick's pod. It's quite good. Again, JJ, very self-indulgent as per, but got a little bit of information out of Ben, which was nice. So if you can sit through an hour of JJ Redick war stories, then you know you'll get a little bit of Ben Simmons flavoring on top. Now, this is something I wanted to do a pod on for a while, and I wanted to frame it in a way that wasn't all, you know, doom and gloom, you did the wrong thing. But I'm going to start with the Robert Sarver stuff. He's now announced that he's going to be selling the team. They've said that there was pressure from the NBA. He was suspended for 1 year with a $10 million fine. And this came after basically systemic racial comments towards his employees. He said bullying, sexual comments to people, especially sexual harassment. Essentially, said, well, it is sexual harassment. And all of this, building a really toxic workplace, which for a team that is starting to have some on-court success, they've really done well to, I suppose, move people, separate that the church and state, for want of a better term, between the executive and the team. That's not to say that the team weren't subjected to that at all, and from all reports, there has been a lot of controversy to the players as well throughout the journey, and it's a poor reflection on the NBA that it went on for as long as it did. This doesn't seem like it was an overnight thing. He's been doing it the whole time, a bit of a power trip, one of the 30 majority owners of the NBA over a franchise, owns the Phoenix Mercury as well. And it takes, I know the NBA put their, powers that be that they had to be able to, they used the full extent of what their powers were to punish someone for this. What makes it tough is that this doesn't seem like an unknown thing. Everyone that came out, there was heaps of people that responded to the inquest, and it takes this long to get through the process, and I understand that, but such a shame that people weren't able to address this sooner, and that there were so many employees that actually went through having to deal with high-ranking executives, the owner, and then from all reports, there's a whole heap of people in the boys' club there that were peddling the same sort of filth. And some still remain there from all reports, from what we see on ESPN and the like that they were talking about from current employees. Hopefully they can clean house and really clean it up. You know, last time we saw something like this was Donald Sterling. The only reason that Clippers was sold is because Shelley Sterling decided to sell. She got a pretty good deal out of it. They both got just about $1 billion each, which is not bad for being racist. It's a tough situation, and I just think, as we've seen it in the AFL as well at the moment, the systemic racism and belittling and bullying and things like that, and I just think we need to be better as a people. I think we need to stop. I mean, this is just me preaching to the converted, but in no other employment situation, doesn't matter what your job is, if you're CEO of whatever, you can't act that way. You can't be a dickhead and expect to just have be immune to the clapback. Robert Sarver's apology was woeful. He came out and said in an unforgiving climate that he couldn't take the time to let people heal with this year away. It's not about an unforgiving climate. It's about not being a dickhead. And if you're going to be a dickhead, you got to wear the consequences because people depend on you. And it shouldn't take players having to come out to make change. And while we appreciate that they do, we appreciate that LeBron and Chris Paul and Draymond Green come out and use their platform to assist in bettering this league. But it shouldn't come down to them. It shouldn't come down to the employees to have to speak up. There should be checks and balances in place for this not to happen. I get it happens in every workplace. Oh, how do you stamp it out completely? Well, you can't. But there needs to be accountability and there needs to be people willing to say, no, that's not okay. And if that means that there's an inquest or a review of each team, well, so be it. You make plenty of money every year. Make sure that the culture's in place, that this workplace culture is nice. It's not hard to be a good person. It really isn't. And when you're in a position of power like Sava was, you took advantage of people and you took the piss. And I think he's going to get a big sum of money. He's going to get X billion dollars out of this. You know, I suppose that's the cost of getting toxic people out of a league and an industry that we love. You know, we all follow this. We don't want people like this at the top. There's 30 people that get the opportunity to be the leader of an NBA franchise, an owner of an NBA franchise. And you treat people like that. It's disgusting. So it's enough of that. In the end, we're getting him he's having to sell it, which is great. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Robert Sarver. And all the best with your future endeavors, because no doubt you end up falling on your feet as these billionaires tend to do. But I don't want to hear from you again. So peace. Now, the other controversy, and apology for that being long-winded sort of rant, but the other thing that happened was Ime Udoka, coach of the Celtics, took them to the finals last year in his first year, has been stood down, suspended for the whole year after there was it was discovered he had a consensual relationship with a colleague, which was not in line with workplace code of conduct, and it was first said that he was facing disciplinary action by Woj. Shams then came out and said, oh, it was because he had an intimate consensual relationship with a colleague. Further details came out that he'd made some derogatory comments or unwanted comments towards this member of staff later on. And that's where the issues really came to light. I don't think it was so much the consensual relationship. I think it was the fact that it then overtook the line into the derogatory comments, and all of a sudden the power dynamic becomes very apparent. When you're the head coach, the face of a franchise, so to speak, and you're having relations with a subordinate from all reports, it's a fine... It's a grey area to walk through firstly, because there is that power dynamic. There's an innate power dynamic there. And as an employee and a employer, I suppose he's still an employer, but probably higher ranked, a boss and a subordinate, it is one of those situations that it's frowned upon. Where it oversteps is where it stops being a consensual relationship or even a consensual, I suppose, affair, for want of a better term, when it oversteps and when one party starts to use their power against the other, and it becomes even more apparent that that was in place the whole time. So they've got some reflecting to do. They've also got partners from all reports. Well, we don't know who the woman is. We know it's not one of their executives who had her face smeared all over the internet, which was completely outrageous. And I think the mishandling of the reporting of this has been woeful. We've been drip-fed information, and I think it should have come out all at once rather than this speculation that came out and, you know, dragged everyone through the mud, which is not what you want to have. And I think we need to be better there as well. In no way do I condone any of the ins and outs of what happened in that situation. I'm not close enough to it to be able to comment further than it stinks. It's not a good situation to be in. and we need to be better. And I suppose, again, workplace culture, workplace workplace relations and code of conduct should be adhered to. And I think people further up the chain become more accountable than people that are at the bottom, because the power dynamic exists. So, again, harping on all of the hard-hitting topics on the first episode back, and whether or not you like that, well, I'm happy to go into any of that. Now, to change pace a little bit and try to lighten the mood, if you can, after that pretty heavy sort of segment, we have the new collective bargaining agreement coming out. When that does come out, I might do a little separate series, maybe on YouTube, discussing the new CBA and what this means, the changes. I have a legal background, so those big documents don't frighten me. They don't excite me, but they are bit of my bread and butter. So we'll go through that if anyone's interested, and we can break that down. We can do some questions and stuff on that if anyone is interested. I find that the administrative side of the NBA very interesting, so I'm happy to go into that, and I might just do it for fun. So if you want to watch it, you can do it. If you don't, well, awesome. But anyway, I think that's probably where we are. We'll finish, well, I don't know, sort of on a big exciting note. I will be in the New Orleans area from the 26th of December until the 7th of January. Hopefully we'll tease some stuff up when we're there, and I don't know what the plan is yet, but I'm going to be seeing 5 games. Those 5 games that are over there will be there for New Year's, so if you see me out and about, come and say hello. We'll have a few beers and chew the fat. And I'm going to leave it at that. So, as always, this has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter, at Ethos Pelicans is the show. Stay safe and bye for now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.